Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, beloved children of God, hear the great news and rejoice. Be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For Jesus, whom you believe is the Son of God and Savior, has redeemed you from all your sins. He has made the way to everlasting life opened to you. He has gone to prepare a place for you in heaven. And at the appointed time, he will come again to bring you there. You will be with him forever and ever. And ever, and I could go on forever and ever and ever about how wonderful this is. You will be in that place where there are no more tears, no more sorrows, no more pain, no more night, no more evil, no more death. You will be in the presence of life itself. Rejoice. And be glad. With daily life, with toils and pains and the various challenges of just getting to the next moment. Sort of like we feel like our head's on a baseball bat and we've spun around and around and around and around and now we're trying to go one way, but life's just dragging us another. How well do we lift our eyes up to the heavens? And consider what awaits us there. A generation raised on instant rice, instant oatmeal, microwave cooking instructions on almost every package. A generation raised like that has very little patience for delayed gratification. 30 seconds for a hot dog takes too long. You know, we're more like Veruca Salt in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Veruca was very good at demanding, I want it, and I want it now. Yes, dear, yes, dear. How about Charlie Bucket, though? Charlie Bucket, he was willing to give up that everlasting gobstopper and the possibility of thousands offered by Slugworth. In return, he received a great reward, the chocolate factory. If we can capture in our own lives again the vision of heaven and all that is offered us in heaven, we would change the priorities in our life from rewards here and now to rewards, those great rewards that will come to us in the life to come. We spend so much on things where moths and rust destroy or where thieves can break in and steal. Can we learn to store up things in heaven, to store up treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, where thieves cannot steal? Store up a treasure in heaven that lasts eternally. Can we store up treasures in heaven by sharing more of what we have with those who have so much less than us? Especially share what we have that will spread the gospel around the globe. Especially in that 1040 window where so much persecution is taking place. If we did this, perhaps heaven would become more real to us, and we would live differently. Living for this life alone is not living life. Jesus said, lose your life for my sake, and you will find life. And perhaps we'll find that joy that is so elusive in today's culture. Why would anyone drink crocodile? Unless they have no hope, no joy, They could see no future for themselves. They need Jesus. Can you tell them about Jesus? The Apostle Paul was an amazing man. Everywhere he went, he would share Jesus. Stones, shipwrecks, beatings, chains would not keep him from preaching Christ crucified. He knew he was in chains for Christ and would rejoice over that situation. He would rejoice that he's in chains. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they could stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. He's bound in chains, soon to die for Christ. And Paul can rejoice because Christ is being proclaimed. He writes, he has that joy, so much so that he writes, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Here Paul is facing certain death, not too far in the future, and he has joy in his heart. He knows that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he doesn't know what to choose. To die and be with Christ, oh, such great gain. To live and bear much fruit, he doesn't know what to choose. He is torn between the two. Dying and being with Christ, or continuing in his labors and bearing much fruit in the church of Jesus Christ. He's torn between the two. Christ is so real to him. Heaven is so real to him. Paul is not afraid of death. He looks forward to it, to being with Christ. He lives in expectation of eventually one day being with Christ. And that's all that counts. And it's a gain. Living for Christ, no matter what, is countercultural. Living to build rewards in heaven is countercultural. Yet that is what Christ is calling us to do. As we hear the Beatitudes, the first portion of them, they really resonate with us. The first seven, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemaker. Okay, Jesus, stop right there. Don't go on to verses 10 and 11. When we come to those verses 10 and 11, we wish they weren't there. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute, and falsely say all kind of evil against you. Jesus, why didn't you just stop it? Blessed are the peacemakers. Because in the midst of hardships, you can find great joy in Jesus. We don't like hardships. If we could avoid them, our culture says avoid pain at all costs. We like to be liked. We would rather be loved and accepted and affirmed in all we do. We want hugs and kisses along with the accolades that the culture could give. But Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are you when people insult you. The culture can affirm you, or the culture may persecute you. What are you living for? What great reward are you striving for? Is it something that will end up in a trash can? Or is it something that will last forever in heaven with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all the saints who've gone before you? Here's an illustration. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family, he was an avid tennis player. A few days after arriving on his college campus, he came across the trophy case in the administrative offices. You know, trophies behind glass, stately standing there as symbols of athletic victories. There was a tennis trophy there, a trophy that listed all the collegiate tennis champions back to 1947. Setting his jaw, Jim Dobson was going to get his name on that trophy to stand in that place of honor perpetually. Now, in high school, Jim Dobson, he would play tennis 6 days a week, 11 months out of the year. He was going to get his name in the record book. Well, he did letter 4 years in college. He even got his name inscribed on that tennis trophy, not once, but twice. Now, all will remember him. All those new incoming freshmen will remember him and read his name and admire him, and perhaps they will be one day as great as he was. He got his name on the trophy twice. Fast forward 15 years. A friend of Dr. Dobson's was visiting their old alma mater. As his friend was dumping some trash out, he noticed a trophy in the dumpster, too. Pulling the trophy out, he discovered that it was the perpetual tennis trophy cast aside. The athletic department has actually thrown it away. Jim Dobson writes, "What a blow! There I was, a legend in my own time, and who cared?" Some universities retire the jersey numbers of their greatest athletes. My school didn't retire my number. They retired my memory. His friend who found the trophy tossed out took it home, cleaned it up, and gave it to Dr. Dobson. And Dr. Dobson kept it in his office as a life lesson. He wrote about it in Life Lessons from Dr. James Dobson, Story of the Hearts and Home, copyright 2000. As you may know, Focus on the Family grew and grew, and Dr. Dobson and the ministry have been persecuted on and off by the culture through the years as they stand for Christian values, Christian understanding of marriage, Christian understanding of many things. They have been persecuted. And how he has changed from striving for trophies that end up in dumpsters to living for things that will last. Blessed are you who are persecuted, for great is your reward in heaven. So you should rejoice and be filled with great joy. On this All Saints Sunday, can your eyes see the reward that awaits you in heaven? Does your heart long for those rewards more than it longs for the stuff this world can offer? Today's Sunday paper, a couple of the Christmas wish books, heavy, thick flyers are in today's paper. Do you remember the old Sears wish book? Sitting down, thumbing through it, dog-earing pages, saying, "Mom and Dad, my wish list." Can you long for Jesus more than those pages that you marked on the wish book? We long for stuff of this world that ends up in the trash can. Does your desire to be with Jesus trump all other desires of daily life? On this All Saints Sunday, to think about, we will be in heaven with Christ forever. What does this bump in the road mean? I can still rejoice and be glad. Jim Elliot, missionary and martyr, wrote in his diary on October 28, 1949, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Getting a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse that is so real in your own life, will change the way you live. For you will know that daily life and the things of this world is not what all of life is about. But our walk on earth is to prepare us to be with our Savior in heaven, to repent and follow Him with all of our life, all of our days, to do good works so that others may see them and glorify our Father in heaven. To truly have a joy that is based on our life with Christ forever instead of happiness that comes and goes, however the day's happenings may be. We like to be liked. We love to receive accolades from the culture. But in the days and years ahead, walking with Christ is going to come to be more difficult. It is, if you see the signs and what's happening in the world. But yet we can have joy. So, Lord, how does this apply for my life today? You have a bummer of a day. Something happened that is just tragic. You've been told you have cancer. You've been told you've had some other disease. It may be maintained by medication, but eventually it will take you. Your mind is slowly going. Your beloved husband or beloved wife no longer recognizes you, doesn't even know you're there. Your child is angry with you and wants to just run away. All these things that make up life can pull you down. But if you have your eyes and you know of your great reward to come in heaven, you can still rejoice and be glad. What's interesting, if you read about martyrs and persecution throughout the world, in the countries that there's persecution, there is more joy in their churches, more joy in the worship. But yet here we in the West, with lazy boys and refrigerators full of food, we turn to anything to find joy. And the latest, if you haven't heard in the news, is crocodile, which is a very terrible mixture that eats the flesh from the inside. People are going after that. Why? Because we've taken our eyes off of heaven and the great reward that is there. And we've placed it looking for rewards on earth, a comfortable retirement, a huge pension fund. But now let us lift our eyes. See our brothers and sisters in Christ. See the lost and the broken and the forsaken. And give of ourselves to them. And perhaps we will discover that great joy. Will we be persecuted? Yes. Will the culture turn against us when we stand firm in our values? Yes. But we will be faithful followers of Christ. What can the world do to us? They may kill us, but they can't take heaven away from us. So as it says in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. On this All Saints Sunday, I invite you to lift your eyes to heaven and see the reality that heaven is for you. And your reward is great already, because you will be in the presence of God forever. Life itself is yours. So don't let your hearts be troubled. You're a place in heaven. And maybe, just maybe, the roommate next door will be there because you share Jesus with them. Because you have shared Jesus with them. And they will experience a great reward just like you. Amen.